Welcome to the Grace Place Weekly Podcast. No matter your size, age, shade, or background, here you'll receive compelling lessons suited to help guide your walk with Christ and your relationships with others. Please join us now for this week's podcast, recorded live from Grace Place in St. Paul, Minnesota.
Thank you, and thank you again for your expressions, and again to all of you fathers. Happy Father's Day. I do have a thought that I've been working on for several weeks. How many of you have been here the last two or three Sundays, and we've talked about John chapter 14, verse 9, where Jesus said, when you've seen me, you've seen the Father. I'll say the first part. When you've seen me, you've seen the Father. I was fishing, again, another story about fishing. I was in the Boundary Waters a few weeks back. I took three different groups of people up there, and one night, in the middle of the night, before I went to sleep, that verse went through my head. It's John chapter 14 and verse 9. They were asking questions. Peter asked questions. Philip asked questions. And Jesus answered, when you have seen me, you have seen the Father. And that verse, that line, that part of Jesus' sentence got stuck in my head up there in the quiet of a camping trip. And it dawned on me that I can say that sometimes, but I can't say that all the time. I can't say always that I am acting like my Father in heaven. How many of you can say it sometimes? How many sometime people have we got in the house? Have we got any all-time people? Nobody? Okay, we're all alike. But would you please say it with me? When you've seen me, when you've seen me, you've seen the Father. So I've been thinking about that, and I've talked about it for a couple of weeks, not really planning, not really setting it up for Father's Day. Father's Day happens to be this Sunday. It's been on my mind for two or three weeks. But I'm going to try to bring a thought to you today. And I told Terry, my wife, and I want to say this to all of you, because I never want to... I don't want to confuse you. I want you to know precisely where I am. I intend every time we come together to challenge you. I intend every time we come to church to mess with your religion, to wreck it. I enjoy what the Lord gives to me. I enjoy the revelation and the changes, but I enjoy the shock factor on your faces. I just want to tell you that, so there's no confusion. It's on purpose, and I intend to do it today. I intend to tell you something about God and help you understand God in a way that you've never known before, and I hope it challenges your past. How many of you know that God is bringing us out of darkness into light? Do you believe that? Do you believe that? You can disagree with me, and it's okay. That's the other thing you need to be shocked about. You can go to church and not agree with the pastor, and I'll love you. Jane, you're right. I'll love you even if we disagree. I think the problem with church right now is so many people disagree over the smallest things. They swallow a camel. They strain at a gnat and swallow a camel. Churches don't get along over the smallest issues. Right? People, families are broken up over religious ideas. Families are busted. Arguments, fights over religious ideas. People kill people. How many of you know that's exactly the opposite of what Jesus came to do? Precisely wrong. It's exactly wrong. Okay, so on this Father's Day, Jesus said, when you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Please look at 1 John chapter 3. 1 John 3. The reason I started the way I did is to set you up so that you wouldn't be upset at me when I challenge you today in a very, very real way. Somebody say, I'm ready. At least you're listening. 1 John chapter 3, verse 1. How great is the love the Father has lavished on us. Everybody say us. When you read that, can you say us? Is everybody allowed to say us? Anybody that reads that can say us, right? So let's look at it again. How great is the love the Father has lavished on us, on me, that we should be called children of God. You are a child of God. How many of you ever heard the term, the apple doesn't fall far from the tree? How many of you have ever been accused? You didn't fall far from where your dad was, and your kids are just like you. Come on. The apple doesn't fall. So hear me. Listen. God is forming you to be like him. He's actually conforming you. He's actually messing with your thinking to make you more like him. But it says how great is the love the Father has lavished on us, and we are called children, and that's what we are. The reason the world does not know us is that it did not know him. Verse 2, 1 John 3, 2. Dear friends, now we are children of God. Would you say that? We are children of God? Turn to somebody on your left and say it to the person on your left. We are children of God. Turn to the person on your right. Say, we are children of God. Say, we're children of God. We're children of God. And what we will be has not yet been made known, but we know that when he appears, we shall be like him. Everybody say, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. I just want to make this little combination before I go on. When you see him as he really is, it makes you want to be like him. There is a God that has been presented to me. There are different Jesuses that are presented by different denominations. I want to be like God as he is, not what people told me about him. There are things that we're hearing about God that will scare people. There are people that are using God as a political force. How many of you know that? I talked about this on Wednesday night. Did you know that God's not Republican? Does that make you nervous? God's not a Republican. He's not a Democrat either. He's not a Libertarian. He's not a third party. God is God. He's above all that mess. Hear me. You got to hear me. So you got to quit fighting over political views and try to get God. God's not a Pentecostal. God is not a Pentecostal. God's not a Catholic. God's not Lutheran. Somebody help me. God's not religious. He's above all that. We've made God into our image. But the truth of the matter is, when we see him as he is, we're going to be like him. I want to be like Jesus. I'm trying to be like Jesus. Now, here's the deal, and you need to help me with this. You need to shorten. Everybody do this. How many of you may, you know, when you catch fish, if you do this, they don't know how big it really is, right? I caught a fish that big. No. Everybody do this with your fingers like this, right? This. I want you to shorten your down times and lengthen, do this, lengthen your up times. I want you to shorten your down times. You can do it. You're getting better. You say, well, man, traffic really does make me mad. Well, you can spend 23 hours a day happy. Shorten your downtime. Lengthen your uptime. You can become more like him. You say, well, I just don't know how I can ever be perfect. I'll tell you what you can do right now. You can focus on the love of God and say, how great he loves us. What a wonderful, amazing thing is the love of God. Now listen to me, because here's where I'm going to challenge you today. The love of God is not like the love that church taught us. We have been given the right, if we choose, not to love certain people. I'm frustrated out of my mind about that shooting in South Carolina. That just frustrates me. Makes me crazy that people immediately start making it political. That's not political, honey. Those are lives, real live people in a church. And there's a crazy man who doesn't represent all white people. I just need to say something because help me, Brenda, because you know how I'm with every race. He doesn't represent me. That boy don't represent me. I don't believe that. I don't believe God made a difference. There is no difference. In God, we're all the same. In God, we're all the same. We're all the same value. Listen to me. He loves everybody. This is going to help you now. He loves black people, white people. He loves Muslims. He loves Jews. He loves everybody. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and all they that dwell therein. You've got to think about how Western theology has twisted our minds into making us more valuable than them, whoever them is. Because we don't know the love of God, we justify by our religion our selfishness. You've got more than you need, and yet you whine. Do you think God can hear you whining when there are people who have had nothing to eat for 3 days? I hear people in Africa in my head. I hear them in my head say, "You have water? You have water?" We should be more thankful. We should see that God loves everybody. We should be more generous because he's generous. We should love everybody. You need to work on your prejudice. You need to work on your bigotry. You need to let God push some of that out and lengthen your good times. Shorten your down times. When that thought crosses your mind, have the Holy Spirit check you and say, "Don't prejudge that person." yeah. Are you ready? Luke, please, chapter 15. One of the most popular stories in the Bible. Luke 15. I told Terry that I love messing with the church's attitude. She said, "I know you do." I told her that she needs to protect them all and try, in her sweet way, to temper me. But I am very stubborn, and I'm bullheaded, and I think I'm right. And so I tell her, "Don't you tell me what to preach." Can I tell you that if God would have his way today, he would take all of us by the hand and lead us into a higher dimension than we've ever been in before if we just won't resist him and say, "I've got it together, and I'm allowed to do what I do, and I'm allowed to think what..." You're not daddy. He's daddy. It's his house. And he's saying to us, "When it's your house, you do what you want, but this is my house. When you get big enough to own the house, you can have the house. If you ever think you own the planet, you can run the planet. But at this point, it's his planet. And he's going to run it his way." Somebody help me. Because I'm fixing to do it now. Jesus continued, "There was a man who had two sons. The younger said to the father, 'Father, give me my share of the estate.' So he divided his property between them. Not long after that, the younger son got together all he had, set off for a distant country, and there squandered his wealth in wild living. After he had spent everything, there was a severe famine in that whole country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to a citizen of that country, who sent him to his fields to feed pigs. He longed to fill his stomach with the pods that the pigs were eating, and no one gave him anything. When he came to his senses, he said, 'How many of my father's hired men have food to spare? And here I am starving to death. I will set out and go back to my father and say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired men.' So he got up and went to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. He ran to his son, threw his arms around him and kissed him. The son said to him, 'Father, I've sinned against heaven and against you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son.' But the father said to his servants, 'Quick, bring the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Bring the fattened calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found.' And they began to celebrate. Meanwhile, the older son was in the field. When he came near the house, he heard the music and the dancing. He called out one of the servants and asked him what was going on. 'Your brother has come,' he replied, 'and your father has killed the fattened calf because he has him back safe and sound.' The older brother became angry and refused to go in. So his father went out and pleaded with him. But he answered his father, 'Look, all these years I've been slaving for you and never disobeyed your orders. Yet you never gave me a young goat so I could celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours who squandered your property with prostitutes comes home, you kill a fat calf for him. My son, the father said, you are always with me, and everything I have is yours. But we had to celebrate and be glad, because this brother of yours was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. Strap on your seat belts. I am going to challenge good common sense, good religious attitude. Ready? The Father allowed and financed that boy's trip. He was an enabler. Why in the world would a dad, knowing what his boy was going to do, give him money to do it? What are you thinking, God? Somebody help me. I'm saying your thoughts. Something's wrong with that. Something's wrong with this story. A pastor's twisting that. This is making me nervous. Is he telling me that as a dad, I'm supposed to hang in there with kids I know that are bad, and I know they're going bad, and they're taking my money and buying booze and prostitutes? He actually financed the parties. He paid for it. He gave the boy the money. And he let him go. He actively participated. Boy, that just wrecks religion, don't it? He actually answered the boy's request. He actually went and got money out of the bank and gave it to him. He actually financially supported that boy's lifestyle. Sin. Did he? I mean, you hate to think of it this way, but it was intentional. You don't think the father was ignorant. You don't think he didn't have a clue, do you? Do you?
No.
Are you going to just excuse this story and say, well, God's just ignorant? No. That is just stupid.
No.
Or are you going to sit there just burning inside and say, oh, my God. What? That just goes against everything I've ever heard. That goes against everything I've ever been taught. That's exactly the opposite of the way we're supposed to be. You can't participate. You can't actually. What? He gave him the money? How many of you would like the story to say his father refused to give him the money and the boy took off? How many of you wish the story said the father said, no, if you're going, I am not going to give you the money? How many of you wish the Bible said it differently? How many of you, honest to God, in your consciousness and in your religious thinking and in the way you were raised, you wish the story said, and it would support your position, if the father said, I'm sorry, son, you're not getting the money. I know exactly where you're going, and I'm not going to pay for that. If you're going, you're going without your inheritance. How many of you wish the Bible said that the father said, no, you can go, but I'm not paying for it? Well, we're getting closer. How many of you, honest to God, down in your heart, wish the Bible said, I don't think so, son. If you're going to go, you got to go without me. I don't believe in that lifestyle, and I am not going to support your madness. How many of you wish the Bible said that? How many of you just are a little upset today that you read it this time and you went, oh my God, it's the truth. Number two. Oh, I hope this really wrecks you on this Father's Day and you never forget it. The Father did not go get his son. The single biggest pain in me, as your pastor, as your friend, I'm going to confess him, the biggest of all that I've dealt with. I've dealt with all kind of people that have all kind of problems, and I've been able to love them and help them. The biggest decision, the biggest advice, the hardest moment for me is when a mother wants to go get her son out of jail. Because 2 weeks ago, it was a huge consideration for 3 days. My son is asking me to come get him out. What do I do? Because everything in Mickey Friend says, I'll loan you the money. Let's go get him. We got to get him out of there. I read this story, and I hear James Dobson talk about tough love. I don't know if I believe in that either, but I want you to know the truth. I want you to know the father did not go get the boy. He didn't go get him. The kid's starving, loses everything he's got, terribly discouraged, has a total identity crisis, and the dad doesn't go get him. Now, I'm going to tell you something, just so you know. This is my downtime. I'm not like God. If my grandson, Cade, gets in trouble, I'm going to go get him. I'm telling you now. I may very well disobey the Holy Spirit. I need help. I just need somebody to help me say, you know what? I don't know if I could even hear God. I'd probably go get my grandson out of prison. I'd go get my son. I'd go get my daughter. I'd go to the house. I'd do whatever I had to. I'd go get him. Come on, somebody. Oh, don't act like you don't feel that. Because when I read it and God showed it to me, I went, you got to be kidding me. I'm going. And you're not? You know what I said? Look at me. What's wrong with you? You got a bad attitude up there. There's something wrong with your thinking. I'm right. You go get the kid. Not so. This makes me so happy. You are so stuck. Keep your seatbelt on. Just keep your seatbelt on. The father did not go get the boy. The kid is starving. He's in trouble. And his dad doesn't go get him. And I would say, what kind of dad is that? Well, he's obviously the good dad because I'm not right. He's right and I'm not. Would you please say that in your head for just a minute? Because I'm reading the Bible. I didn't write this story, you guys. I'm just carrying the mail. He could have gone and gotten him. Think of the idea of time. How he could have saved the boy this horrible, what a loss of life. How many of you look back at some of your younger years and you think, I wasted a lot of good years. Honestly. Fooling around, being silly, being stupid, wasting time, wrecking your life, doing things you wish you hadn't have done. The father overlooked the value of time. Pain. Let me tell you something. I've got grandkids. I've got kids. I want to save my kids from pain. If I can save them from pain, if I can save them from suffering, I want to help them. Not this guy. He said, have at it, boy. Have at it till you are miserable. Until you're sick, until you are so mentally ill that you're going to eat pig food. Now that's gross. Somebody help me. We're talking real here. This is real. And he didn't go get him? The boy's confused, and the dad, Sparky, last week you testified a little bit about knowing, talking about your grandkids. You know, I want to teach my grandchildren. I try to keep them from confusion. This kid is totally confused and the father doesn't go after him. Does that make any of you nervous? How many of you, if you were the Bible writer, if you were the story, you'd have said, and the dad searched all night long, went through the alleys and the streets, knocked on doors, found other drug addicts that knew the kid and finally chased him down. Let me see your hands. Come on, help me. This is the way I want it to be written. And finally put his arms around that boy and said, come on, son, I'm going to drag you out of here. We're going to get you out of here. I'm going to take you home, son. Don't you think so? Come on. Oh, you're not being honest with me. You know that's the way you wish it was written. You just don't have the guts to say, you know, that's really right. I don't know what in the world God's thinking. What is this story? This is not what I'm, that's not what I'd do. I would go get him, Cindy. I would have done it. I'll come get you. Somebody help me. It's Father's Day and we're talking reality here. The man didn't go get the boy. And I'm mad about that. Because now I don't know what to do with this God who does stuff I don't like. On Father's Day, and we're talking about what a great father, and we're looking at this guy and saying, what kind of a dad is that? What kind of a dad is that? Come on, put your hands on your hip with me and shake your head. Come on, you women. Come on, you lady. Give me one. Come on, ladies. What kind of a dad is that? Is there anybody in the room that's at least asking that question with me right now? Is there anybody saying, you know what? I never saw this before. I'm wondering about this story now. I've seen this whole thing differently. I've never read it like this. I've never seen it from the love of a father. Number three, final point, so that you can go home and not be filled with indigestion when you eat your food today. The father waited at home. And by God, he welcomed him back. Like, what? Isn't there some lesson you can teach the kid here? Isn't there something we should have in the story that says, let's get this straight before you move back in? We're not doing this again. Somebody help me. Yes. How many times did my parents say, I hope you learned your lesson, yes, because we're not putting up with that again. Yeah. We don't even see it. It's not even in there. Dad just grabs him and hugs him and says, welcome home, son. And I'm going, now there would be wisdom, God. I got a little wisdom to give you here. I'm going to help you. You need to talk to the boy. Let's have a conversation with the kid. Let's straighten this out. No more of that crap. I'm done with this. Somebody help me. Don't sit there like I'm a nut. I'm not nuts. I'm telling you the truth. The father waited and welcomed that boy home and didn't jump him. Didn't beat him, didn't yell at him, didn't shame him, didn't shake him by the back of the head, didn't say, hey, look at this idiot. Hey, how's he smell? How'd that trip do you, boy? Hey, how you doing now, skinny? Hey, slim. Hey, pig breath. And that's exactly what we think would work. Put a little shame on the boy now. Work it out. Let's talk to him a little bit. Make him sit over here where everybody knows where he's been. Let everybody see what happens when you go pigging. Come on, let's give him a little bit of those sexually transmitted diseases. Help me, somebody, because that's exactly what happens in America. We find out that somebody's messing around, done something wrong, we say, well, they deserve it. I remember hearing preachers say, AIDS, that's a gift from God. Clean this country up. Look at me. That preacher is an idiot. This God is right. This story's right. This father is right. And I'm going to finally give you peace. Are you ready for some peace? Are you ready? You are so tense. Terry, smile at me, honey. She won't smile at me. She won't smile at me. Okay, here we go. Whatever the father did or didn't do is justified by the end of the story. And that is this. The boy knew. He's my father. I'm his son. He didn't change. He didn't falter. He let me learn what I needed to know. And you can't tell it. You got to know it for yourself. The reason you've been in the pit pen and the reason you've been down is because someday you will say, He loves me. Yes. He loved me then.
Yes.
He loves me now.
Yes.
And I could not know that
yes.
by somebody else's story. You can't hear it from a suit and tie on a Sunday morning. There's something you'll never get from me. There's something you'll never get at church. You can't get it until you come back to the Father and you realize He still loves me. In your heart, you know it.
Yes.
Nobody told you. You didn't get it off a flannel graph in Sunday school. You didn't get it from a Sunday school teacher. You didn't get it from the hug of a visitor or somebody at the door. You get it. And the boy got it. Listen, and his knowledge of the love of the Father is bigger to the Father than the sin that he committed. The time he wasted, the money he spent, the experiences that he went through. Oh, to God, I could get it without those experiences, but somehow I have to go through that to understand. With all of your knowledge, get understanding. You got the story in your head, now get it in your heart. He's never, ever gonna turn the lights out, lock the door, and give up. We're gonna leave the lights on for you here. Grace Place is going to be open because there are people coming back to God, coming back to their senses, and you can't judge what they've been through. You got to quit judging people with your eyes and with your ears and with your religious experience, and you need to say, I trust God. I know He knows exactly what He's doing, and He's going to celebrate. And here's the big one, Jane, you blew my mind because I'm going to preach about the love of God, and here's the big one. You ready? Someday there's going to be a celebration for all of us, because none of us stayed home. All of us went crazy, and all of us are going to come back, and there's going to be a huge celebration, and He's going to say of you, you were lost, and now you're found. I know you were lost, but we're stuck on the found side. You were dead, but we're stuck on the you're alive now side. Happy Father's Day. That's what God will do. That's what God's about. He's about you understanding His love. You'll stand, please stand with me. And then the father had to go outside to the older brother too. Has to leave the party and say, son, what's the matter with you, boy? Well, you didn't give me no pig. You didn't give me no, I'm with my family. Son, shut up. The boy was dead. He's alive. Listen to what he said. We had to celebrate. We don't have a choice in the matter. Oh, to God that would get on this church, that when somebody comes in here that's been a mess, we don't look at the mess they've been. We look at the Father they've come to, and we just celebrate. Just celebrate. Celebrate. That's why I'm not nervous about America. That's why I don't think that world's going to hell in a handbasket, because there's a God who knows exactly what we need to go through so that when we all get back and we all get right, there's a celebration for all of us. Do you understand me? He's not nervous. He's not running after us. He's not going to go yank us up out of this pit. No, He's going to let you live right through it. And when you come to your senses, you're going to realize, man, He loves me. That is love. Freedom, not restriction. Liberty, not legalism. Staying home from church, not going until you get it. Keep your money. He don't need it. But when you get it, you say, everything I got's His. I belong to Him, man. I'm just telling you. You better go home because I could preach. The God that I'm talking about today, He's on another level, and He's taken this church to that level where we're ready to celebrate the wisdom of God and the goodness of God. praise the Lord with me, would you? Lord, I lift my hands and I give you thanks because you could have embarrassed me. You could have taken away my liberty. You could have done this completely different and we would have all been proud of you, but you didn't do what we thought. Because you're working on our hearts. You're working on our hearts and our minds, not our behavior. You're looking past my faults. You're looking past my immaturity. You're looking past my stupidity. And you know that I need to know that you love me. And I get it. I get it. And I'm so thankful. I'm free. I'm free. Thank God Almighty, I'm free. I'm free. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for this church. Thank you for these people. Thank you for Grace Place because you set me free. Oh, my God. I thank you. Okay. Before I blow into 1,000 pieces of light, you better go home because I feel like $1,000,000. You're dismissed.
Thank you for joining us today. We hope this message has been a blessing to you. You can subscribe to this podcast via iTunes. To learn more about Grace Place, please visit our website at graceplacemn.org. Thanks for listening. May God bless you this week.